Nina or Hearng may like to just share a little bit about what Ajahn was saying to Hearng. Would you like to say what Ajahn was saying?
Good morning, everybody. Because I am interested about Dhamma, reality Dhamma. That's why I asked Ajahn about reality. At the moment, Ajahn always emphasizes every moment is Dhamma, nothing else. And Ajahn talk many things to remind us about only citta and cetasika and rupa at the moment. Not I see the table or I see people, only rupa. That very profound, deep advice, deep understanding. Ajahn also talk about if at the moment you understanding about nama and rupa and cetasika, at this moment you just understanding about intellectual and you can understanding trot away, and this accumulated for understanding more. When I heard that, I very happy, and I very see the deep advice and deep dhamma we never known before. Only the Buddha teaching and get enlightenment and understand about dhamma and taught about that. I feel I very much appreciate Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, about Dhamma is at the moment we never known before. Nina talk about something. Would you like Nina talk more about?
We talked about it, how difficult it is to understand that there is no one here. We are so used to think of all our friends here, and no one there, nothing there. We hear time and again as a good reminder, but it cannot be realized so quickly at once. But it has to take many lives. But a beginning of understanding can be there by studying one reality at a time that appears through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body sense, or mind door, like sound now, there is sound, and it is only a Dhamma. Not, we think at once of the sound of cars or aeroplane or the traffic, but the reality of sound is only that what can be heard, as we hear time and again from Ajahn. And it seems, why do we have to know sound? Why do we have to know visible object? But it really helps little by little that there is more understanding of what Dhamma is, and that is the way for many more lives to eventually realize that there is no one there, no people there.
Also, I asked Ajahn about when Buddha passed away, and before Buddha passed away, he taught 45 years about Dhamma non-stop. But now Buddha passed away, why we don't know about Buddha teaching too much, and we have different idea about Buddha teaching. And Ajahn said that Dhamma is Dhamma. Dhamma is Dhamma. It's, I feel very powerful, profound to answer, to Ajahn answer. So I appreciate Ajahn about answer. Would you like to tell more, Ajahn, please? Usually there is always idea of someone or something or many things in and around, but always forget that which experiences whatever is now appearing. So that's why there's idea of I see, because it's only the reality which arises and sees. But that is not in anyone's mind at all, because usually one pays attention to that which is seen. From morning to night, forgetting about the experiencing, which never stop at all. It arises and falls away, experiences different object, right, like now. See, that's why if you think about that, it's not I, it's only thinking. Until the characteristic of that which is not visible object, not sound, not anything else, but the element which is uncontrollable, is conditioned to arise and experience an object at a time.
How about Sarah? Would you like to share something?
This morning at breakfast, I mentioned to Ajahn that I and many of us, we all really appreciated her kusala and her example yesterday, because it was a very precious opportunity for people in Sri Lanka to help them have more understanding. And we have put up with quite a lot of hardship, as we discussed the other day, mosquito bites, different kinds of food, long travel. But the only reason that we are actually arranged to come here was to help the people in Sri Lanka. And yesterday, on the way into Colombo, she asked me to see if they would like to extend the discussion so that they have more opportunity to hear. And I mentioned there were other people here that might miss out, but she said they will have other opportunities. But for those people, it's their one chance and opportunity. And no thought about, oh, I may be tired, or I may get hungry, or this may be difficult. Just if there's an opportunity to help, she said, we just help. So I think it's, and I appreciated this at breakfast, and she said, there's just one moment, life is just one moment. If we have an opportunity to help others develop understanding, don't think about oneself, don't think about one's discomfort or one's stomach, or one might get tired, or it might be inconvenience. Just help when there is an opportunity. So I think we can all learn from this example, and I'm sure Ajahn would like to say a little more for everyone.
To understand, the most precious in one's life is the moment of understanding whatever appears. Otherwise, everything passed yesterday, no more at all, in samsara, even right now. Whatever arises falls away instantly, never to arise again. No one can find it anywhere in any world at all. That's why each moment is so precious for developing understanding of the truth of it, because without the teachings of the Buddha, no one cannot think about it, about the truth at all.
When there is more understanding, one knows that as it is the most precious thing in life, that's how it is for everyone. So like yesterday, we said there may only be one person who would like to attend or who might like to benefit, and it may cause inconvenience to the whole group. But if it's just even one person can benefit or appreciate a little more about the value of understanding, it's worth all the difficulties, and it's worth coming here, and everything is made possible. But actually, we help when there's a chance, and we don't have expectations. We don't think about the result or whether it will be this way or that way. Just help share when we can. That's all.
That's why Buddha went so far
to help anyone who had conditions to understand the teachings even before he died. He went to die at Kusinara because he could help the last Savaka, Subhadra, to understand the teachings.
Ajahn, what about at this moment we can learn? I mean, at this moment, can learn, but yes. People don't think.
Yeah, ask, is it real?
Real.
Is it I?
No.
So what is it? That which is seen, and that which experience it. See?
I mean, people not believe.
We don't think about the others because one is born alone, die alone, see alone, think alone, understand alone.
Thank you, Ajahn. I got your answer. I got it.
Nina is pointing at a friend. I'd like to hear what she is.
We talk a lot about being alone because sometimes I feel worried when we have a lunch and I see him sitting alone and then we talk about it and joke about it, but we know from Ajahn that we seeing is alone and it's true that we are born alone and die alone, so we remind each other that being alone, it doesn't matter whether there is company or no company, these are all lovely reminders really.
Kun Hương, Thaitan always reminds us, you see, what life is. From the beginning of this life is Patisandhicitta, arise with the Jetasika accompanied with, and also three Kammaccha Rupas. Three Kammaccha Rupas. So each moment of Citta arises and falls away, succeeding by another Citta until now. So until now, seeing, hearing, no one here.
Yeah. Ajahn, what about the characteristics of reality? For example, CNC visible object, but when Banya development more, the characteristics of reality is more subtle. It is true?
That's right. Because it seems like now there are many people. See? No, not at all. In darkness or light? Now we are in darkness. In what sense?
We are in darkness.
In what sense?
Say again, please.
In what do you mean by that? We are in darkness now.
Now we see the people. We see things. We mm-hmm. see the people.
So darkness here means no understanding of whatever appears. Even it's like light and colors and nimitta, and that it's made known by citta when it takes it for something, panyati, that is darkness, because even it's now appearing, no understanding of it, as it not so, no one there at all. Is that what you mean? So now light or color or people in things are the object in darkness of reality, understanding.
Yep, it's makes sense. The sound? Ajahn said about sound. For example, I call Ajahn, and every sound I, J, I, H, N. Every sound, every letter is the characters of reality. It is?
Without understanding, so it is also in darkness too.
But I remember last time Ajahn talked about, for example, when we heard a sound, but we not heard the sound, but we heard for example, we call Ajahn, and we heard Ajahn, something like that. I got some point, but now I not clear understanding. Would you tell more again about for example before?
It's just like whatever appears now, we take the ignorance takes it for someone, something. As sound is heard, ignorance take it for some voice or some meaning in it. In it, see, just seeing it, sound and the meaning, the banjati.
But the sound, for example, a letter A, the letter A, and
B, C,
B, C, D.
Yeah.
But the nimitta of the characteristic with together with the sanya.
Yes,
that's why we understand because, the letter I.
Because the sound of A is different from the sound of B, different from C, right?
Each sound heard now is different from each other sound because it arises conditioned by other rupas. So because of sound heard now conditions to think about A, another moment, another sound, so conditions to think about B. A, B, ideas about what is heard. So when we hear only sound is heard, it doesn't mean each sound is the same. Cannot be. Each sound is different. But as soon as there's an idea of A, B, it's not, it's thinking about the sound. And if there's any idea of trying to be aware of sound or catch sound, of course, as you know, this is wrong practice. If it's trying to know sound at this moment, it's wrong. But actually, sound is what is heard, and many, many sounds are what are heard. And because of the sign of the sound, there is thinking in different ways.
And when we talk about awareness of sound, we are not talking about, especially at the beginning, awareness of each separate moment, like ah and jhan, as in the word ajhan, because it's all happening so quickly, the sound arising and falling away. And awareness can only be aware of the fact that what is heard is just sound, what is appearing. So it's not as though the words are broken down into syllables or anything like that.
Sounds are heard, but what makes it A and B?
Yeah.
The sound just is heard, yeah. But what reality makes it A and B?
Together.
See? Sound.
Mm-hmm. Only sound, but we think about A, B, C, D.
Okay.
Because at each moment that sound is heard, citta experiences that sound. And what else experiences the sound at the moment of hearing it?
But my question is...
I know, but this is... We're talking about Ajahn's question. So I'm trying to help you understand her question. So at the moment of hearing sound, what else experiences sound besides citta?
What makes it the sound of A and the sound of B? Because sound is just sound, which is heard.
How is it? Why is there thinking about A or B?
Yeah, I understand that.
But why? It's a question.
Because sanya working.
Because sanya is marking at each moment. So each sound heard is marked by sanya. So it's not just citta, it's not just hearing sound. It has other citta seekers. So sanya is marking at each moment. And it's because of the sanya marking the different sounds that it conditions thinking to think about A or B.
But my question is, if the sound arises and the the eye sense impinges the eyes, the ear sense, and the characteristics of the sound impinges the ear sense, and every sound very clearly and understanding
clearly.
And understand clearly.
I think that we are talking about moment of sound and moment of knowing what that sound is, like A or B, or clearly, or not clear, so, and everything. Yet you said that it is sanya, a reality which arises with citta, and it marks so that the reality is you or just a reality.
Reality.
Yes, we remember that. Mm. We can talk about it a lot, but not moment when it appears, because it doesn't appear. Sanya does not appear, see, but it's there. Mm. So many realities are there, but what appears? And what?
Sanya.
Sanya does not appear.
Sanya
below. Arises with seeing, hearing every citta, but it does not appear. But we can say that it's not me, it's sanya which marks, which remembers. But the characteristic of sanya is not the object of right understanding. And no one can select to take it for the object at all. But there is the intellectual understanding that at the moment of hearing, no I, because seeing is the faculty of citta, which experiences the object, but it cannot mark, it cannot remember. It is the other main factor arising with it. Why do we study all these? In order to develop the understanding of no self at all, who remembers or who sees or who hears or who thinks.
Just to clarify for Chi Hung, when a sensei appears to if sanya appears, that means if sanya is the object of understanding at this moment.
And also, it may seem that sound is more clear at one time or another, but this is just a kind of thinking, yes, because sound is just as it is. We cannot say sound is clear or not. The understanding may be there arise or may not arise, but we cannot say that sound is sometimes clear or not. It's just the characteristic of sound that is there.
So is sanya now in darkness?
Yes.
Everything in darkness? Everything in darkness?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's why we need the light to understand whatever appears.
Another friend who, one or two, a few friends will only be here for this session, so I'd like to include any of their questions or comments. And Jagrit asked me to introduce the topic of vipalasas. And vipalasas, now, just keep this on the... And so even at this moment of thinking, even when they're thinking about Dharma, whenever the citta now is akusala, the sanya is also akusala. So actually, even now during the Dharma discussion, vipalasa is there, because it is a vipalasa means perversion. So even now when one's, if one's thinking is confused or one's distracted by different things, or there's clinging to what is seen and heard, so common right now, so it is a perversion of citta, a perversion of sanya at this moment. So any moment of akusala, there is perversion of sanya, perversion of citta, until all kalesa have been eradicated. And the third kind of vipalasa, ditti vipalasa, of course ditti vipalasa just arises at moments when ditti arises, and that's why ditti is eradicated at the stage of sotapanna, and also the taking of what is not self for self, and the taking what is impermanent for permanent when ditti is eradicated. But even now, during a Dhamma discussion, there can be moments of ditti vipalasa, like maybe there may be a subtle trying to catch visible object or to have awareness, or some little bit of wrong understanding about I can do something. So it's always about now. And so the taking, so even like it seems there is a microphone, it seems that a microphone is seen and there's something there. Actually, it's taking what is impermanent for permanent even at that moment. And the other two, taking what is dukkha, unsatisfactory, for being sukha. Actually, even the Aryans, until fully enlightened, there can be the taking of what is actually unsatisfactory for satisfactory at moments of attachment. It's taking what is unsatisfactory for satisfactory at that moment, and what is foul, what is asubha for subha. So actually, in the deeper meaning, whatever arises and passes away is asubha, but taken for being subha all the time. So I think Jagrit, I would like you to say a little more about vipalasana.
As a now, at moment of ignorance, attachment, aversion, as the main conditions, is there a sanyana?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it at moment when there is no understanding, it is sanya vipalasa?
No.
Because you see there are three words which represent realities. The sanya vipalasa, the citta vipalasa, and the ditti vipalasa. Always, whenever akusala citta arises, sanya is vipalasa, because it cannot understand reality as it is. Whenever sanya is vipalasa, citta is also vipalasa. And it depends on whether there is wrong view or wrong understanding arising or not. If it's there, there are three, not only two. Sanya vipalasa, citta vipalasa, and ditti vipalasa. So when ditti is completely eradicated, there still be sanya vipalasa and citta vipalasa when akusala citta arises. So it's not this moment we think about whether it is sanya vipalasa or citta vipalasa or what, but to understand that whenever there is no understanding of reality, there must be akusala.
This is just a slight side question, but we've commented many times how for us it is mostly akusala citta, and you mentioned even when ditti has been eradicated, there will still be sanya vipalasa and citta vipalasa if citta is akusala. So for the sotapanna, is it still the norm that the citta is akusala?
Without vipalasa, there will never be akusala. A sotapanna has also akusala citta.
And that kind of subtle akusala that arises right at the moment of seeing and hearing all the time, I'm guessing that would not be eradicated until higher stages of enlightenment.
Depending on conditions, that's why sotapanna understand perfectly the meaning of anatta and anicjang.
Ajahn, because sanya arises with every citta, So whenever there is sanya vipalasa, the citta is also vipalasa. So why there are the distinctions of two? Why they say just not citta vipalasa, but citta vipalasa and sanya vipalasa?
Always why?
Is there any meaning? Is there, does it suggest anything, or does it tell us anything else about vipalasa?
Just depending on at that moment, there is thinking about sanya or about citta. Like now, what vipalasa?
It depends on what appears.
Now.
Citta.
Citta, and for you? Sanya vipalasa.
What? See?
Ostitta, and who knows sanya? Just talk about. Both are vipalasa.
So it really makes sense that we're talking about something that we know nothing.
That to know.
Isn't it a little bit like why sanya kanda? Because of sanya, that is why there is thinking. So if there was not distorted sanya, there'd be no distorted thinking, and the chetasika's condition, the citta. So it stresses the role of sanya in the way that objects are marked, as to whether there is perverted thinking.
Example. For example, I thought that is black wood. Sanya vipalasa. See or understand whatever there. At that moment, there is no understanding of citta vipalasa. But it's a sanya. I might mistake this for someone, see? So that is sanya vipalasa, which is known, but not the citta. But whenever there is sanya, there must be citta. That's why even at moment of sanya vipalasa, citta at that moment is akusa too.
So if an arahat mistake this for a piece of wood, if they no sanya vipalasa, right? Yeah.
So don't think about the conventional situation, like even in the text, they may give a conventional example of mistaking the name or something like this. But actually, it's pointing to the akusala citta, chetasika, not the situation.
Ajahn, you often talk about realities, the world as it really is, being covered by ignorance and attachment. This is essentially being covered by vipalasa. Same thing?
I think that in order to find the details of everything, I don't know whether it's helpful or not, because it can condition the citta to go astray from this moment. But I think that the most important thing is whatever can condition right understanding right now is better to me.
Yesterday, Ajahn was saying, with regard to some of the questions that were asked, that actually one could answer in more and more finer detail. But sometimes if one looks at too much detail or answers with too much detail, instead of conditioning more understanding, it actually leads to more doubts and more whys and more confusion. Exactly. So That's why one has to always come back to what appears now, what can be known now. And even when one's reading the text, there always be some details and points that are not clear. No one can, impossible for anyone to understand it all. So actually it always comes back to, well, is the citta now, is it citta vipalasa, or is it wise considering now? Is it sanya vipalasa, when remembering different terms or marking details, or is it wise considering?
And Lopa would like to know more.
So, Kumeta asked what life is, so it's very good to go on more about this. I remember that more than 20 years ago, I was with Sarah in Sri Lanka, and I had to go back at the airport, and she went out of her way in a very early in the morning with Captain Pereira to take me off to the airport. And then we discussed that life is only one moment of experiencing an object. And I was so sad leaving Sri Lanka and all, and Ajahn and all the friends. And she said, oh, it's in one moment, all these 3 weeks, and it falls away. No more Sri Lanka, no more people, which was a very good reminder, I found. So that life is only one moment of experiencing one object at a time. That is life. But if Ajahn likes to say more, it's good.
Actually, there is no Sri Lanka. No friend, nothing at all, only a moment of experiencing an object. Until then, there can be the understanding what is meant by the teachings of the Buddha to light that which is in the dark, to be seen as it is.
It's a good topic, yes, and it's true. We think about what happened yesterday and the good discussion or the difficulties or our trip to Sri Lanka, but actually it's just a moment of thinking now. Life just comes back down to this moment. So like whether one's thinking about details in Abhidhamma or the trip to Sri Lanka, at this moment, citta vipalasa, sanya vipalasa, as usual, or is there just a moment of considering, and as John said at the beginning, actually just a moment of understanding now is so precious, and at that moment of understanding of what appears now, no sadness, no thought of leaving my friends, no I'm all alone, nothing at all, no clinging, just a moment of understanding. And actually that is what life is like. It's just one moment followed by another moment. And usually as soon as there's seeing or hearing, afterwards there's attachment and then thinking long stories, usually about me and others and what I like so much. But just a moment of understanding. And then the citta is calm at that moment. No perverted citta, no perverted sanya, no problem at all. Whenever there are problems in life, it's because of the vipalasa. Without vipalasa, no problem at all. So always back to just one moment.
Is this not the purpose of studying Dhamma? Listen more and more. To understand that as long as there is the idea of Sri Lanka. For example now, do you have the idea of you are in Sri Lanka?
Yes.
Yeah? I don't have the idea that here is Sri Lanka, only people around the trees and so on. Don't mind whether it's Sri Lanka or not. But as long as Sri Lanka is there, it's something which is not the absolute reality. That's why we learn the teachings in order to understand that actually there's no one, no thing, not anything in any reality at all. So as long as there is the idea of time or of Jonathan and Sarah, See, kun metta. Some people are there now in the visible object. See, it's still there. So it's quite far away from what we are learning to go through to the understanding of no one at all.
But I think that a visible object is really one of the most difficult subjects that you find too, and many people do realize that it is only what can be seen, since we know that the thinking is so fast and we see at once the trees and the people and the things. I think we have to hear a lot about visible object.
Because you see that we can say no one the people. What about this, see, at moment of touching? See, is it something? What about this at moment of seeing? What about this at moment of thinking? No idea, no understanding. But actually, each one can be object of studying and understanding each moment as it is, from hearing more and more that actually, how can there be no one in that which is seen at all? Because there is always the idea of someone all the time. So we need more understanding, listening of what is there at moment of seeing. It's only that which is seen. And if this not the idea or the concept of what you think about in the very beginning, it will never become clearer, stronger, to abandoning the idea of someone in visible object.
It's the most difficult. Yeah.
What about other realities? Like sound, see? And hardness and softness, everything. But why it looks like it's so very difficult, because it appears more than other doorway in a day. But actually thinking is more than that. So we can see that so many unknown truth that is there in a day. Like we think that there is saying all the time, but actually Buddha said the experience of the truth, it's not seeing which is all the time, the thinking is more than that.
Ajahn, just getting back to what you were saying earlier about the idea of people and place, wondering or guessing if there was an arahant here and one asked him or her, is there the idea of Sri Lanka now? He or she may say, well, since you mention it, yes, but there's not the idea of it being a place where I am. But they would still conceptualize, and they would still know they were in Sri Lanka and not Thailand, for example, right?
With understanding.
With understanding.
Tiny Tam has been very patiently waiting to ask a question, yeah.
I'm just curious about the case. Because there's no sanya vipalasa or citta vipalasa and arahant, but what is the case when he or she may take maybe sara for someone else? So what is that case? It's not sanya vipalasa, but what can it be?
Just thinking with metta at that moment, but maybe the name is, forget the name, but it can be
objects.
Like at a moment of greeting Thai, I may say, oh, lovely to see you, Tam, but it doesn't mean it has to be akusala citta. Usually for us, akusala cittas, of course, but for the arahat, no akusala of any kind. So maybe even metta at that moment.
Development
of understanding doesn't mean that suddenly one remembers names better. Ajahn forgets many names. It doesn't mean anything about understanding or no understanding. While one thinks about the conventional situation, like remembering names, forgetting names, then it's like missing the point about what a moment of akusala really is.
Ajahn, what about Phavanga between the the rupa, for example, rupa of the visible object and rupa of the sound. It can be every sound had the between kalap pavanga. It can be, or only the sound and visible object.
Attachment arises. It is attached to everything which is the object, that can be the object, except Lokuttara Dhamma. Because there is no Lokuttara Dhamma to be attached to. At moment of very little understanding.
Your point. And Thai, because you've come a long way, anything you would like to discuss today?
No, but still a question on me about the thing that Achan mentioned before. When Achan said that, it's in order to understand, in order to know it. But know it in word and know it in meaning, not know it in reality. When we say about sanya vipanaka or chitta, and then ask for what, and as I just said, in order to know, but actually just know in word and know in meaning, and it helpless, I feel.
It doesn't help,
yes, I feel that.
That's why we better study just one word at a time to have clear understanding, not just following the details so much without any understanding perfectly about that word. For example, Dhamma, whatever arises, appears, is real. Each one is real, so each one is what we call Dhamma, but actually it has its own characteristic as not self. Just to understand. So whenever there is doubt, at moment it's real. We don't have to name it. What Pali term is there? The characteristic of that reality appears, no matter you call it what. But there is no understanding of that as not me. Because usually ignorance is there, and it takes everything for mine, me, all the time.
Now, hearing of sound and maybe thinking about it with attachment. So at the moment of thinking now with attachment, is it good or not good, thinking with attachment? Kusala or akusala, this moment of thinking
it's
with attachment?
Akusala.
Okay. And can one say that the thinking with attachment that is akusala is perverted in the sense that it's not kusala, so it's not the pure way of thinking or the wholesome way of thinking at this moment. So when there's thinking now with attachment, it's not wholesome, and there's no awareness at that moment of any kind, nothing wholesome about it. So one could say that it is distorted or perverted thinking in the sense that it is not the wholesome thinking. The arahat won't think with attachment because the harm of thinking with attachment has long been realized and it's been eradicated because he sees the danger of that kind of thinking. So at the moment of thinking of attachment, nothing is known about it, but actually it's harmful thinking, not harmless thinking, because it's with attachment. And this is what vipalasa is, what is meant by the kind of perversion of thinking. So it's just referring to the akusala citta and the akusala sanya at that moment of thinking in that way, because at the moment of being attached to an object, it's pleasant and
one likes it, nothing is known about why it's not useful, why it's not kusala. So it's distorted or unwholesome at that moment. Actually, what we're talking about is just about thinking now with attachment, thinking now with ignorance. That's what it comes down to. Just different words or terms to help consider in order for understanding to develop now. So it's not actually about the term or the label. It's about a way of looking at the reality. Because usually at a moment of thinking of attachment, nothing is known about it. But by considering more about what is wise thinking and unwise thinking, there's a beginning to appreciate that even though it seems so pleasant, it's unwholesome, it is perverted at that moment.
And to know that it's unwholesome or wholesome, and to know that it arises and falls away, what is true.
Yes.
What is true? If it does not arise, it wouldn't appear at all before knowing whether it's kusala or akusala, wholesome or unwholesome. But the nature of that reality is that it's conditioned to arise. But in the beginning, no understanding of conditions for anything arising at all, right? For example, sound, see. If there is no thought, no thinking about its characteristic before there is sound, or before sound appears, no sound. So amazing. How come to be sound? No one can condition its arising. No one can make it arise, but it's there. This will begin the understanding of the anatta-ness of whatever is there, rather than trying to find out or think about whether it is wholesome or unwholesome. That's why there should be the understanding of reality as that which is conditioned to arise. It does not last, just arising and falling away in split seconds. But this is only thinking about it, because the arising and falling away in split seconds does not appear yet. But one knows that it has to be such like that, because it seems like there is seeing and hearing at the same time. But actually, the enlightened one told us all about each moment of reality is conditioned to arise by different conditions too. Even seeing now sees is different from the moment before seeing arise, and it's different from the moment after seeing has arisen and fallen away. See, what for? To understand reality as not self. It cannot be in a sudden moment to just understand and directly experience what we are sure now that it has to be like that, because before there is seeing, there's no seeing, and after seeing there's other reality, but it's hidden, the arising and falling away of each moment. But it has to begin from intellectual understanding until it's so very firm as satyayana, understanding that panya grows or develops at this moment of understanding whatever appears. Not just thinking around about many, many things, because even it is not I, because it just arises to see. This is to develop. No matter it's kusala or akusala, or vipaka, or kriya, it cannot be known before there can be the understanding of not anything else at all, only an element, because it is as it is.
What do you think, Tai?
It's hard to say. I don't know. It seems very true. It seems very true, but because let's say, for example, the understanding in theory must be step by step until it's very firmed, until the really understanding happen to understand it, but that understanding not happen, so we still not sure about that until it happen.
Sin is true.
Yes, it seems is right.
It can be more true. truer. Until its moment of realizing the truth of a reality.
Takes patience, right? We should not just
parami,
listen.
Parami, see. There is no doubt about patience, parami.
I just want to mention for one or two people who may not know about it that Satya Jnana means, Satya means truth, and Jnana is another word for Panya. And when Ajahn is talking about Satya Jnana, it is the very firm intellectual understanding about realities. And if it is not this firm intellectual understanding, if there is doubt about, oh, well, is this reality and what is sound and is it really a voice that is heard? If that understanding of realities as anatta is not really firm, it cannot condition the firm pariyatti. It cannot condition the direct understanding of realities, the satipatthana. So this is why we discuss a lot, in order that the intellectual understanding about dharmas is really firm, so it's really clear that there is no Sri Lanka, there is no one here, it is only visible object seen, no one, nothing else there. It is just a moment of experiencing. There really are just those realities which can experience an object and those realities that don't experience anything. It's not about the labels or the terms or the details, but developing the very firm understanding there really is no one here, no thing here. It really is just hardness that's touched, no table at all in reality.
I understood also when it is Satya Jnana, there is no more deviating from the Eightfold Path, so that means no more trying, no more subtle trying to know. So that is really difficult already.
So if there is a little bit of subtle to catch visible object or doubt about whether it really is visible object seen here, it means there's not the firm intellectual understanding about the noble truths about what dukkha is or the cause of dukkha or what the path is, because still there is a clinging to the idea of I can do something. And that's why when if anyone asks a question of, well, how can I know it's visible object seen, or how can I understand this point, it's clear there is not yet firm understanding, because it's not like Ajahn is a mind reader. But from the question, it's clear it is deviating away from what is right, the firm understanding of dharmas that are anatta. And without that firm understanding, there can be going astray any time. Oh, this is too slow, it's taking too long. Maybe I just go and practice something with my friends or try to catch the realities. So that's why it's so important that it is Satya Jnana.
So it must be very firm, really, because a little trying even.
Even a little trying, just a little bit, even during the Dharma discussion, leads to more trying and takes one astray. It's a little bit like we were talking about the other day about having a little bit of
alcohol, thinking it's not harmful, and then a little more and a little more, the same. A little bit of wrong practice can lead to a little more. The tendency grows, accumulates.
Just quickly, some moments it can be firm, and other moments there can be, it can be not firm. So,
sir, you mentioned doubt.
No, Ajahn disagrees with it.
You mean that you have the question, how can I?
How can I?
So you mean that sometimes it's firm and sometimes it's not firm? It means that sometimes you would have the idea, how can I do? How can I experience? Yeah. How can I have such understanding? Right?
Possible.
Really?
Well, it depends. If wrong view arises...
How can you attain enlightenment? Is that what you sometimes think?
No.
No. So it's not that.
No.
Different from the person who doesn't have firm or satyayana, because they really believe that there can be other way. But for those who have understanding, firmly, understanding satyayana, which can condition a moment of right and direct awareness of whatever appears now by conditions. But still, the idea of self is not completely eradicated. So there can be conditioned jetana, even just a very little, very slightly there. But Panya knows that that is not the path. And that Panya which knows is satyayana. But it's not the idea that... how can I? It's too slow, too long. Please tell me to do, to meditate. See?
Right. I was just commenting on what Nina had been saying beforehand, that that kind of thinking, it can arise anytime.
There is understanding that another kind of practice... would help. No, we don't do that. But a little trying to know visible object also is more subtle. Also means, I think, that it is not satyayana.
See, we are talking about the degree to which understanding has been developed, right? Satyayana.
The point is, if it is satyayana, it's so firm, there cannot be the idea of how can I, or try to catch the visible object. As Jan said, just some very subtle intention, but known immediately that as it is, so cannot be the gross idea of doing something, or how can I, yeah.
So how
but
can
it
can I...
can be subtle, and that it is not satyayana, but it is maybe it is not momentary, I think, satyayana, is it?
Satyayana conditioned kichayana.
Yeah.
If there is no satyayana, no kichayana, no satipatthana arise at all.
Yeah.
So at moment of being aware of right awareness arises, it indicates that there is satyayana. To condition such moment, you do not try to go somewhere and try really hard to gaze or to stare or the visible object just to penetrate it. It's not like that. So satyayana is jnana, right understanding, very firm that there's no way to go away from the development of understanding.
But even subtle. For a moment, subtle.
Because you trying. See that as it is satyayana, it can condition kichayana, which means the moment of satipatthana performs the function of satyayana or sati, right awareness. So how come the moment of the arising of satipatthana There must be the very ground, firm understanding of reality as it's now. So it can condition awareness to arise, being aware by itself of the object. No one can select or make any choice for sati to have such and such object as breath and so on. See? And that is satyayana. But the idea of self is not completely eradicated yet. So it can arise any time, but the satyayana knows that it's not the right way. So it can delete or have less and less such wrong practice or wrong moment of trying or thinking, even just very little. Just, okay, there is right awareness of this object. What about the other? Even such thinking is...
Yeah, we could say it's just like a remnant from the old way of thinking.
But at the moment, we think of satyayana as something that stays, but it should be very momentary, only a moment, satyayana.
So you mean that now what jhana, and next moment what jhana, or the other moment what jhana? Because you see that intellectual understanding can be firm to be satyayana, not moving away to other practice, other way, but knowing that it has to be by conditions at any time.
I think being that it is momentary, any panya is momentary, but when it is firm, when there is no misunderstanding about trying to do anything, then when it's firm understanding of realities, it's not like, oh, sometimes it's firm and then other moments suddenly not firm at all, because it's been accumulated to that degree.
Yes. So there is a subtle tying, and it is known by Panya that it is a subtle tying. But if it is not known by Panya that there is a subtle tying, we cannot speak of satyayana. Is that right?
So it depends on right awareness and right understanding, whether it's there. It has a reason one knows the difference between moment with awareness and moment without awareness. And on the way, whenever there is the kilesa, like attachment, aversion, or whatever, right understanding, which is firm as satyayana, can understand that. That's why it can develop more, on and on and on and on. Otherwise, how can it develop more?
So when it knows the subtle trying, it also understands that that is not the way. So in that way, it becomes more solid, more firm, right?
When you were talking about satyayana, you said no more doubt about what the path is. Is this a similar situation as the subtle trying, in that it's with the sotapattimagga-citta, doubt about the right path, and
so doubt hasn't been eradicated,
but
so
it's very close.
But it's just like what Ajahn was saying,
yeah,
about the idea of some subtle idea,
right,
about another object, so some subtle remnant, but it's known,
right,
it's known immediately that it is just doubt,
right? So it's a gradation thing. Yeah, known immediately. If it arises, it's known immediately that it's doubt.
If it arises, is there the idea, I'll go somewhere to know it? If doubt arises, is there the idea whether I'll go somewhere to the meditation center to practice in order to know that?
If it's doubt,
is that?
I guess it could be.
It couldn't be.
About what the object of reality
so
is.
There may be, if there's just a moment of a little bit of doubt about what appears now.
Yes, that's
that
what I
can
thought.
Be known, but it's not the doubt that can condition a trying to do or
okay.
any kind of practice.
So it's doubt about what appears now.
No doubt about what is the right way.
Right. Okay.
So that's why when there is satyayana, it conditions kichyana. to become Katayana.
And although the doubt hasn't been eradicated, as we just said, the confidence in what is the right path has been developed.
And that is Satyayana, which conditioned Kichayana.
But for me, right understanding is so little. So sometimes self or attachment trying to catch the reality. So right understand arise, that is not the way. Yeah.
So we'll know when there is Satyayana, when there is the beginning of understanding of realities, right? Because Satyayana conditioned Kichayana.
Oh, see, Satyayana.
I don't get it.
Because some people go to the Mulaniti to listen, and in the afternoon they go to meditation center to meditate. Satyayana.
And hear about what Kichayana is. So Satyayana, Kichayana, Katayana, these are three rounds of understanding the Four Noble Truths. So Satyayana is the firm, very firm intellectual understanding about the Four Noble Truths, as we've just discussed, firm understanding of the way of what realities are. And Kichayana is the firm understanding of the development, the direct understanding of those truths, the direct understanding of realities. So we could say that Satyayana is a very firm pariyatti, the firm intellectual understanding, and Kichayana is patipatti, the direct understanding of realities. In other words, Satipatthana. So what we're actually saying is that there cannot be the development of Satipatthana, the direct understanding of realities, if there isn't a very firm intellectual understanding. So this is why we're considering and discussing about dharmas, in order for there to be the firm intellectual understanding that conditions the direct understanding of realities, the development of Satipatthana. So the pariyatti or the Satyayana is like the way to develop Satipatthana, or the foundation of Satipatthana. And the development of the Kichayana, the very firm understanding of realities, leads eventually to Katayana, the direct realization of the truths, in other words, Pativeda, moments of enlightenment. So Satyayana leading to Kichayana, leading to Katayana.
At the understanding of Satyayana, can there be a moment of concentrating this fan as visible object? A little trying, can that be happen for the...
There can be silapatta pramasa, as long as it is not completely eradicated. Dhyana doesn't turn towards other way.
We need to hear more about Satyayana. So even when the understanding is very firm of pariyatti, there can still be wrong practice, silabhata, paramasa, right?
Just pay attention with just a little sound, trying to do, and then Panya knows that it's gone.
Yeah, but Panya should know. If Panya doesn't know, we cannot say it's Satyayana.
If some Satyayana that doesn't turn one away to other place to develop other system, method.
Because then we speak more about very coarse, really, to go somewhere else or to try to know. But now when we are listening now to what you explain about realities, reality now, and little by little, it's not yet... Satchanyana.
Who knows? Who knows?
Assuming.
If there's thinking and wondering, and is this firm enough, then not firm enough. Yeah.
Just something else on the Satchanyana. I think that when there's the subtle trying, but if intellectual understanding has been quite developed, then it can see that it is not panya, it is just thinking with attachment. So in that way, it can see through that it's not the right path. I just said that if there are moments of trying, for example, to catch seeing now, because of the intellectual understanding that has been developed, it knows that it is just thinking with attachment and self. So it knows that it is not the right way, and in that case, it continues to develop.
And this could be especially so if there has been a long-standing wrong practice in the past, and so the habit is there to try and catch or turn one's attention to a particular doorway or something, but then because the intellectual understanding of the correct way has also been developed, then it's recognized as being not the way.
Ajahn, what about cetasika of cetana and yoniso manisakara? Because Vietnamese translated very confusing. Cetana is mean action something, wholesome mind or unwholesome mind, and similar with the translated so yoniso manisikara. Vietnamese translated, I'm not sure they translated very similar for do something right or wrong. Would you please tell about cetasika of cetana and yoniso manisikara?
That's why we better learn just one word or one reality at a time. So, please, Kun Nina and Kun Jonathan, cetasika.
Would you please tell about cetana, cetasika?
She just called me Nina. Any akusala cheetahs? I don't think so. So, first of all, cetana arises with every cheetah. So cetana can be kusala, akusala, vipaka, or kriya, correct?
But it's only saying,
right.
Do you have any intention to do something?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Just move your hand?
No.
No intention to move?
No.
How can the body move?
Because the intention is mean not I, it's by condition.
But it's intention. All are not I at all.
Yes.
Now there must be intention,
yep.
Right? At every moment, like when you speak or move, there is intention at every moment.
Yes, it is. But I mean, some people are thinking about I do. Cetana is mean someone do something. It's not true.
Whether they are thinking about I do or they're thinking about I don't do, still there must be intention at every moment.
Yep.
Intention at every moment of seeing and hearing and thinking, speaking, lifting the pen. Intention at each moment, right?
Yeah, but people always think...
Never mind about other people or what they think, because the question is about understanding cetana and manasikara.
I got it. What about...
And when there is intention at each moment and when cetana arises, it helps coordinate the other cheetah seekers and the cheetah to also arise and perform their function. So it coordinates or organizes the other factors and the citta. So without intention, the other citta seekers and citta cannot arise. So intention at each moment, coordinating and performing its function.
The cetana is the leader.
In the text, it talks about it as being like the head prefect, the one that coordinates the others. So citta is the leader in experience, but cetana helps coordinate the other factors. So cetana now, cetana at each moment. We cannot be speaking or acting or anything without cetana at each moment. We also know there is another factor, manasikara. Not talking about yoniso manasikara, we're talking about the cetasika manasikara. So at each moment, manasikara arises and attends to the object. So it also arises at every moment with a different function, usually unknown. But when you talk about yoniso manasikara, it has to be the kusala moments only, so not at every moment.
And sometimes yoniso manasikara, even though it refers to a specific cetasika, is also used to refer to wise reflection. Wise reflection.
Wise reflection.
Yeah, reflection. So, although it refers to a cetasika, then it's also referring to the fact that there are conditions for there to be wise reflection on the Dhamma over more than just a single moment.
For I am listening to your explaining about cetasika of cetana and yoniso manasikara. For my understanding now, because cetana is the function of every moment intention, it is right. And yoniso manasikara about wise intention. And
do we have to just talk about yoniso manasikara? What about manasikara itself? Because yoniso is wise attention, and yoniso is unwise. But manasikara, attention, not intention.
One is cetana's intention, manasikara's attention. Totally different words, meanings.
It is yoniso again,
only manasikara or attention.
Another one that by itself, they do is by itself. I'm not clear understanding about.
We're talking about two mental factors that arise at every moment. Like now, we understand there is intention at every moment now, cetana, cetasika, which coordinates the other mental factors. Intention now, each moment of life. And another mental factor that is also one of the seven universal mental factors that arises at each moment is manasikara. Forget yoniso, just manasikara. So manasikara arises at every moment and attends to the object. So attend. So now there is the citta attending to what is seen, attending to what is heard, attending to what is thought about, and this is the function of manasikara.
I'm wondering a little bit about knowing the differences between that cetasika to anything else with right understanding about the realities.
They are not self. Intention is intention. It's real, it's a reality, and attention is attention, it's another reality, no one there. Because intention cannot perform other function than its function. whenever it arises, it performs its function of intention, coordination. And when it's manasikara, attention, it arises, it performs its function. So it's not you who intend, or it's not you who attend.
Because usually there may be, there's often the idea, oh, I intend to come to Sri Lanka, I intend to ask a question, I intend to scratch my head, whatever. Or now I'm attending to what Ajahn is saying, I'm attending to these words, I'm attending to the sound out there. So the only reason we study about these different dhammas and give them names and labels is just to understand no one there at all, just a moment of citta accompanied by its assistance, the mental factors arising, each one performing a particular function and then falling away instantly. So that's the reason of studying or considering, is just to really make it clear and firm that it really is just Chaitanya that has this function of intending and Manasikara that has this other function of attending and so on.
The reason that I wonder that, because it is both unknown realities, and we're talking about the differences between two realities that we don't know anything else about that.
You know it as I. But not the characteristic of any Dhamma. See?
Think about your saying.
Yes, because you have many intentions in a day. And it's not you, it's only that characteristic of Chetasika, which arises and intends in different manners, different ways. Any intention to stand up? Not yet. So there's intention to sit, still sit. Unknowingly, but it's there.
Smiling.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Intention is not the moment of only kusala or akusala intention that could be known. Intend to do good deeds, intend to buy such and such, wholesome or unwholesome intention, but intention or jetana jetasika arises with each moment of citta. Perform different function, like when it is vipaka jetana, it's conditioned by karma to arise with a certain citta, whether it is seeing or hearing or smelling, but it still performs the function of coordination. Always coordinate the other jetasika, which arise together, perform the function, not lazily.
I think maybe your point start from what we usually said, you know, when we talk about like 17 citta moments in a process, and we know that these are not the realities that are appearing to our understanding at this moment. And sometime you also said that we talk about these things that we don't know. But I think when Ajahn said that, it's just to stress that they are not object of understanding, and we are just thinking about it, and in order to not to get lost in it. But still there is the value in understanding all the about all the realities, because it helps us to see the anattaness of everything. And like Ajahn just said, explained to you in details about chetana. And you know that there are chetana every all the time appearing, but we don't understand about it. And by hearing more about it, there can be more understanding that is anatta, and also they can condition the moments of more understanding.
Thinking about that, not understanding about that. Sorry. When you said it's more understanding about it when we studied in very details, but I guess it's maybe thinking more about that.
There can be thinking wisely and thinking unwisely. Do you agree?
Yes.
And without the intellectual understanding, or in other words, thinking wisely, can there be direct understanding?
Sure that it is wise thinking, so not wise thinking, right?
So maybe because especially if we're tired or one hasn't heard and one hears these terms and one may not be familiar with them, so maybe it's just hearing about it just is a condition for more confusion and doubt. So at that moment, even then, there can be understanding of just confusion and doubts are just moments of thinking that are not self too. So any reality, any time. So it doesn't mean it must be wise considering. If it's just confusion and doubt, okay, so what? Just conditioned dharmas to be known at that moment too. And I'd like to hear from Hai, because she's also come all this way and we haven't heard anything, and she always has very good questions. Anything you'd like to ask about, Hai?
I think it's more about to differentiate between the different words in English that I find confusing. For example, you said that manisakara is attention to the object. And when you said the object here, that you mean is like a rupa or something else, right? What is the meaning of the object in that? Yeah.
As we know, at each moment of experiencing in life, at each moment of citta must experience an object. So seeing must experience visible object, hearing must experience sound, thinking thinks about an idea. So at every moment in life, there is the experiencing of an object. And we just mentioned there is intention, the dharma which coordinates the other citta seekers and citta at each moment. So at moment of seeing, it arises, performs its function, moment of hearing, moments of thinking. And manasikara, attention, also arises with every citta and performs its function. So that means at a moment of seeing, it attends to the visible object. At a moment of thinking, it attends to the concept. And as Tai pointed out, actually these dharmas, they don't appear, they aren't known. But the point of studying them and hearing about them is just so we can see. There isn't anyone who intends to do anything or attends to anything. There are just these dharmas. And we think conventionally about attention, like now I'm attending to the Dharma talk. So this is a conventional idea of attention. But actually, at every single moment, there is attending to what is experienced. So it's very subtle or not easy to know, but just to understand there is that citta seeker performing the function can be helpful to just begin to understand. No one to attend, no one to do anything.
The benefit of learning about all these citta seekers, because one can see that even a moment of citta cannot arise without the others factor, like the seven citta seekers at least. So who can do anything? Because even citta itself, it needs seven jitatika at least to arise. So it can condition more firm understanding of no self at all, who can do anything. But there can be more and more understanding of the truth of it from hearing that it's not I at all. And we study each jitasika like pasa jitasika, not the Chetana Chetasika, Vedana Chetasika, Sanya Chetasika, and Manasikara Chetasika. See, it has to be there, a moment of citta arising. But not enough understanding. That's why we need more words to think about in order to have more confidence that it can be known more and more when we hear more and more.
Thank you. And I also want to share a little bit when you explained earlier, Ajahn, about the process of learning, like instead of focusing too much understanding, is that akusala or kusala is actually to appreciate. First is to understand that things arise and fall away. I think it's just today it struck me more, like because I think in the past I always have that kind of very allergic or very strong kind of reaction when people focus so much on akusala or kusala, because I had an association that people want to differentiate between akusala is good and want to have more and akusala is bad. I think that today I understand that it's also, I missed the point. Maybe they differentiate that in a different meaning, but I was attacked that to thinking, oh, we want to have more kusala and less akusala.
Even just have more confidence on Dhamma. See, before knowing whether it's what, it has fallen away. And the development of right understanding has to begin like this. Instead of thinking in terms of kusala or akusala, right awareness arises and is aware of a characteristic which hasn't happened before, because usually there's touching, seeing, hearing many, many times. As usual with ignorance, it appeared to ignorance and attachment, and ignorance and attachment cannot understand anything at all. But when there is the hearing about realities, it can condition more and more understanding of no self. No matter we talk about citta or cetasikas or whatever.
And so what we talk about here is just understanding, not with the idea of trying to change anything.
Wholesome moment or unwholesome moment just a moment ago. See, not noting that it's Dhamma. But if one tries to find out, one lose the precious moment of understanding that it's just a reality.
And I guess sometimes like for me, for example, when before Ajahn says that just understand one word at a time, sometimes I feel like, oh, is that too simple, right? But then when you actually say it, it actually to understand the reality and its conditions, and it actually like what arise and what appear to which, I think is actually a lot of complex understanding and studying.
Why many people who come across the term sati, they thought immediately that they know what sati is, but actually no understanding of anything at all. That's why they think they understand, so they follow by their own way to try to have it or whatever, without understanding just what sati is. It's not citta. It's not unwholesome cetasika. See? And so on and on. It arises with kusala moments, no matter dana and sila, and the citta and cetasikas before the Buddha's teaching is much different from when there is the understanding. Even it's the same moment of dana or sila, but there is understanding there. Even at that moment, it does not arise. Panya does not arise, but rise understanding that. Right understanding, one has heard it before, is there. Never lost at all.
When Ajahn comes to Vietnam, she may start with saying, well, what is Dhamma? Because if someone doesn't understand just one word like Dhamma,
Dharma as reality, then they may think that Dharma means, oh, the study of the Tipitaka, or following the Buddha to the temple, or something like this. So if one doesn't understand that Dharma is now, that Chaitanya now is Dharma, so then what is Chaitanya? Otherwise we will talk about more and more words, but not actually even understand that now that Dharma means seeing now, just a reality that arises and passes away. So this is what is meant by one word. It doesn't mean focus on one word, but it means instead of talking about many, many words and details that we really don't understand, come back and let's consider what one word at a time means.
Really all lead to all other words, right?
And understand that first word, like Dharma, that one may talk about, or in this Chaitanya or Sati, then one will say more and more and just become more and more confused. And as Thay pointed out, it's useless because it just leads to more doubt. So that's why it's good to come back and consider one word at a time. Do you think so, Thay? We're going to have lunch at the restaurant where we went to on the first day coming from the airport nearby. So I think we can finish in about 5 minutes or so, and then we will get on the bus and go to the other place for lunch.
Attention.
I understood what Sarah said, so... For sure, yes.
Why was it understood? Because if no attention, so many, many moments of attention, otherwise...
Attention to what?
To the sound.
Or to the shape and form of the sound, sorry, the meaning. Thinking about lunch.
You find it a difficult matter that we discuss now. Yes?
Yes, I'll wait.
Yeah. So it's very nice if you have questions, because it can help us all, you know.
Yes, if I have a question, I would like to...
Very good for us to consider also when you have a question for our beginners, because we are all beginners. That is what I want to say. Because you say several points you find difficult, but it's difficult for all of us. So we find it very useful if you ask more.
No intention?
Sorry, yes.
There must be intention. Each moment.
Because they seeing, they hearing, and the attention with that. So we know that there's like shape and form, there's meaning of word.
Now, attention to what?
At the moment, attention of seeing.
Not the sound?
I don't know.
At moment of hearing, there must be attention already unknown. See? And also intention, unknown. At moment of hearing, there must be intention, unknown intention, unknown attention. But they are there, even at moment of just hearing.
Even at a moment of just hearing sound, that mental factor of Chetana that you asked about, intention, is present.
Also, attention.
Also, the mental factor of manasikara that you asked about.
Attention. Yes, but Ajahn talked about, asked about Thai, about at the moment you have attention for what? And what your answer, Ajahn?
Because you see that there is always attention and intention at any moment, but it depends on that moment. What you think about, like I attend to the sound of the plane or something like that. At that moment, it's not attention to that which is seen, right? Because it's so very rapidly falling away and then succeeded by the next one. So now, what attention is to?
Attention for listening?
Yeah, unknown. It's known as attention.
Unknown?
Unknown.
Is a Yoniso Manasikara now? Wise attention now?
Yes. Yes.
If there is moments of kusala, then it is Yoniso Manasikara. If there are moments of thinking about lunch or going to the bathroom or about the sound just heard, then Ayoniso Manasikara. So, different moments.
Right. Even there are so many cetasikas arising and falling away, not all of them can be known. But whenever what appears, there is no understanding that it's not self. There is an understanding that I hear or I think all the time. But actually, they're all dhammas, different dhammas.